Yosef, in this week's parasha of Vayechi, Yosef brings his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to be blessed by his father, by Yaakov Avinu. And we know that the way Yosef puts his children is that Yaakov Avinu should extend his right hand on Manasseh and his left hand on Ephraim. And Yaakov Avinu switches the hands. He puts his right hand on Ephraim, his left hand on Manasseh, and he blesses them with that famous bracha of Hamalach HaGoalosi, that the Malach who led and redeemed Yaakov Avinu should be there to redeem the children, Vidgula Rov Bekerav Aretz, and they should multiply in the land, a beautiful blessing. And at the end of this blessing, Yosef comes over to his father and says, Abba, perhaps you don't realize you've switched the hands, right? Manasseh is the older one. He deserves the right hand. To which Yaakov says, I know, my son, I know. He too will be a great nation. But the younger son will be even a greater nation. And here we come to the key pasuk, and this is source number 2. So he blessed him that day, saying, But you shall bless, by you shall Israel bless, saying, May Hashem make you like Ephraim and like Manasseh, Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim uk'Manasseh, and he put Ephraim before Manasseh. The question I'd like to ask is a very basic one. We know there's a minhag, there is a custom in many Jewish homes, not all homes, but many Jewish homes, to bless the children on Friday night. The sons are blessed to be like Ephraim and Manasseh, and the daughters are blessed to be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. So a number of questions we need to ask. Question number 1 is, what is the whole concept of bracha all about? Right? Even not in terms of specifically blessing one's children. Anytime we give somebody a bracha, we go to a tzaddik for a bracha, people ask people for brachos. What is the concept of a bracha about? That's something I'd like to try to examine a little bit more at length. And obviously the topic can be, you know, dealt with much more extensively. We're just highlighting certain ideas. I'd like to try to understand the role of the one giving the blessing as well as the role of the one receiving the blessing. Having done that analysis, I then like to turn to what is the whole concept of the blessing of the children on Friday night, and then move into a much more specific question, and this is our specific question for today, and that is it not strange that for the daughters we bless them to be like our matriarchs, like our imals of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, but our sons, instead of saying they should be like Abram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we said they should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. Obviously, Ephraim and Manasseh were very great. They're counted as part of the Shvatim. I understand that. But to bless our sons every Friday night, they should be like Ephraim and Manasseh, makes us wonder, what is this blessing all about? What are we, in fact, blessing our sons? What is this blessing? These are the ideas I'd like to, Bezrat Hashem, deal with today. Clearly, the whole concept of blessing is to understand what does it mean when a person asks someone else for a bracha, for a blessing. We know, Rav Dessler, source number 3, everyone is given the instruments precisely suited to their individual task. Every person has all the instruments they need to fulfill their life's purpose in this world. And that includes the family they've been given, that includes the place they live, that includes the talents, the capabilities that they have. Every person has their instrument, their toolbox, their area of specialty. And as the Orgel Dayahu notes, and this is source number 4, in reference to Yaakov Avinu blessing the Shvatim, he notes in the underline in 4 that Yaakov Avinu birech kol achad mashvatim bebracha miyuchadet. He gave every shevet, every tribe, their individual bracha. Because every shevet, every tribe has their derech, has their special way to serve God. And every tribe has their shar, has their gate in which to enter into heaven. And that's why we know there's a concept that there were 12 paths by Kriyas Yamsuf. Because everyone has their path. Every tribe has their path, every individual has their path that they need to traverse in this world. So explains Rav Shor, second column, source 4. Vabrachol shel Yaakov hayu l'chol echad kefi shorasho. Yaakov Avinu blesses every person according to their shorash, according to their root. Shem shiach habracha ra'ui kefi shorasho kochol echad v'echad. And he draws down from their root that which every tribe needs. And here's the key line, ube'emet, third line down, inyan ha-bracha hi ha-hit pashtur. Bracha, we know, is related to the concept of the brecha. A brecha is a pool. Bracha is hit pashtur, it's ever-expansiveness. When somebody gives somebody a bracha, the bracha is that those capabilities, those utensils, those aspects that make this person unique should be able to expand, should be able to be overflowing, that the person will have an ever-abundant amount of this aspect to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. And that's exactly what a bracha is. Shakochot hamyuchadot shakoz shevet v'shevet yitbarchu v'yitpashtu. The bracha is that every shevet, every tribe, that which makes them unique, should be expanded, should be developed. The similar concept to this, but perhaps slightly more honed in, is what Rabbi Lev speaks about in his Sefer Outlooks and Insights, where he notes in source number 5 that the Medrash says, and the merit of the names of the sons of Israel, the Jewish people, will be redeemed. And he says in 6 that the Medrash relates that every person has various names. The one Hashem gives him, that which his parents give him, the name he's called by his friends, and above all, the one he earns for himself. Everyone is endowed with a variety of talents and skills. Some, like one's name, are directly endowed by Hashem. Some are the result of hereditary environment. But the most significant are those that come by virtue of developing and actualizing one's potential. And that's what the Medrash means, that the entire host of heaven and earth exists on a person's name. They exist, and redemption exists, on a person being able to fulfill their potential. Now, it's very interesting in Source 7. Now, when Yaakov Avinu was about to reveal the case, he was about to reveal the end of time, when Mashiach was going to come, we know that the divine presence left him, and it was closed up. He was unable to know this particular time. So the Medrash knows something very interesting, that when you look at the sons of Yaakov Avinu, you will note that the letters Chet and Tet do not appear in the names of any of the tribes. Go through it. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. There's no letter Chet and there's no letter Tet. So Yaakov Avinu said there's no Chet. Chet and Tet is sin. There is no Chet. There is no sin among the Jewish people. So therefore, I can reveal the case. I can reveal the end time. But then Yaakov Avinu also noticed that the letters Kuf and Sadik Safit are also not found among the tribe. And he realized that he could not reveal the end of time. What's going on here? So he notes in 8 that the development and perfection of the world depends on the realization of each Jew's individual potential. It's in this perspective that the world was created for the names of the Jewish people. And the Medrash tells us the final redemption is alluded to in the names of the tribes. Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell them the end of time. But then Yaakov Avinu realized that, you know what? It doesn't have to be that there's going to be a final date when Mashiach is going to come. We have the ability to bring Mashiach closer. And that is why, instead of revealing to them the kates, the kuf sadik, he instead blessed the children. And he said, if I would tell you what your quality traits are, what makes you unique, what makes you special, that there is no deficiency in your potential, there's no chait, and you're able to take your abilities and go tremendous miles with them, then you have the ability to bring the kates, the redemption, closer. So instead of telling the brothers a final date, Yaakov Avinu instead blesses them. How is the blessing instead of telling them the final date? Because the blessing is a hachitimsi. It's the medium in which allows the people to bring Mashiach closer. Because when a person knows what their strengths are, when a person knows what their potential is, then a person has clarity of vision to be able to develop that potential, and then they're able to live their life to the utmost, and that will bring the Mashiach much closer. Rather than reveal the deadline 10 for redemption, he opted to bless them with self-knowledge that could help them bring the redemption at a much earlier date. In this vein, knowledge of the capabilities they possessed was itself a blessing. Which is how Rav Moshe Rice explains in Mirosh Sirim in source number 11, what we understand as being problematic about the blessing to Shimon and Levi, where he describes ki klei chamas v'charoteha, that they used violence as their weapons, as their medium. And Rashi says this is umnut zu shel ritzicha chamasu bidechem mibirkat esav hizo. Rashi notes, and Rav Reis develops this, Yaakov Avinu was telling Shimon Levi, violence coming in this type of way, where you're not being threatened and you're just going out and being proactively violent, it's anti-Jewish. It's an Esav quality. It's not a Jewish quality. You have taken a quality which is not yours and utilized it. It's important for Shimon and Levi to know that they have a tremendous aspect. And Rabelsky has a fantastic essay on this in Einei Yisrael one can look at more in depth, that Shimon and Levi have the characteristic of responsibility, and that's why Yaakov Avinu makes them the clergy. He makes them the Melamdei Tinokos, because it's only somebody who has a sense of responsibility will become a good teacher. Yes, you have a good quality, but don't take a quality that doesn't belong to you. That's Esav's quality of violence. You feel responsible for your sister, wonderful. Take that quality and develop it to the utmost. That's the concept of what a bracha is about. A bracha is ability to take that which you have and be able to tell somebody exactly what quality traits they have. And this explains, says Rav Wolbe, in his Sefer, on his Inyanim, Yunim in Sefer Breishis, source 12. This is why Yaakov Avinu basically said to Yosef, you want to know why I'm putting my right hand on Ephraim and my left hand on Manasseh? It's because I know Yoshua is going to be the great leader. It's going to come from Ephraim. Ah, you may say, well, why don't I just bless Manasseh that a great leader like Yoshua should come from him? And the answer he says is, Aval medhi shezeh lo shayach, it's not applicable. Why? A blessing can change one's innate qualities of who you are. In Yoshua tzarich latzeit me'Ephraim, if Yoshua, Joshua is supposed to come from Ephraim, that's the reality. Lo shayach l'shanot etzel v'recha Menasheh sh'Yoshua yitzeh v'menu. You can't then switch it and say, no, Menasheh is going to have the qualities that would enable Yoshua to come from him. Ha'inyan shel bracha hi shemash shenimsa b'koach. The concept of a bracha is that which is found in potential. Yetzei l'poa will come into actuality. B'li shum ikuvim, without anything blocking it, without anything stopping it. The innate potential, that which is found within a person, should be able to come to the fore, should be able to be developed to the fullest. And that's why Rav Orbi notes, he says there's a klal gadol in brachos. Says today people go to people to ask them for brachos all the time. Ulam ha'amedhi, the truth is, he says, shechdei latei bracha, to really give a bracha, you need to know the person. You need to know what their kochos are, what their strengths are. And then the bracha is going to be something that's going to be very specific for that person to be able to take him ha'koach ha'lapo'al, from the potential to the reality. So don't get me wrong. It's a great side that gives a person a bracha v'atzlacha. You know, you should be blessed. Obviously, it's a great bracha, and we'll talk about the bracha v'atzadik very soon, b'zrat Hashem. But you can't compare a generic bracha to somebody who really knows you, somebody who really has attuned to what your kochos ha'nefesh are. When they give a bracha, it's going to be a much more sincere bracha. It's going to be a much more tailor-made bracha. And that bracha is going to have a tremendous more power, because it's a bracha is about developing the potential. The bracha isn't just, you know, some, formula. It's basically a bracha is hitpashtut, taking that which is there, found in the potential, and being able to develop it. You know, it's interesting. One of my closest friends, my walking partner, I call her sometimes the walking Hallmark card. So very often, after we walk, she'll say to me, Shira, I want to give you a blessing. And I would always laugh until I prepared for this Shira. Like, you know, always blessing me. But you see clearly, and we'll talk about this, that when somebody cares for somebody else, there's a certain koach to that bracha, certain power to that bracha. And every time she gives me a bracha, it's a bracha that's tailor-made to what's going on in my life now. A bracha for strength, a bracha for insight, a bracha for siyata d'shmaya, whatever the bracha is, it's something that is something that I need. And in that sense, a bracha is much more powerful when the person giving you the bracha is tailoring it exactly to where the person is at. And in this sense, a bracha is really about, if we move to the next page for one moment, a bracha is really about what we find here, in source 16 by Eli, where we find that Chana is davening, imploring Hashem for children, and she looks like she's drunk, and Eli says, until how long are you going to be drinking? And Chana says, no, you misunderstand me, I'm not drinking, I'm davening for a child. And when Eli realized that he falsely accused Chana, source 16, and Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel will grant your request that you have asked of him. And we learn from here, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that if you falsely accuse somebody, tzarich lefaisa, you have to appease them. You also have to bless it. And that's how the Mefarshim understand. What does it mean when Eli said, may the God of Israel grant you your request? Some people say it's in the Vua, it's prophecy. But many of the Mefarshim, as noted in Source 17, hold that this was a tefillah. When you give somebody a bracha, it's really a tefillah. May Hashem, whatever it is. And that's why when Paro, in Source 19 A and B, asked Moshe Rabbeinu, and bless me as well, Uverachtem Gamoti, Rashi, based on the Targum, says, Hitpalu alai, daven for me. Because the essence of a bracha is really a tefillah. And that's how we understand in Source number 20, that so often in life, there are so many great things that Hashem wants to bestow upon us. And they're standing ala petach, they're standing on, you know, almost the edge of Shemayim. And sometimes we just need that extra tefillah, that extra davening to be able to bring down, you know, that almost lahavdil muscle, you know, that extra quarter that's going to bring the Coke machine, you know, the Coke down out of the machine. It's that extra tefillah, you know. So if it's $1.75 and you put in $1.50, it doesn't help. And someone gives you that extra quarter, boom, the Coke comes down. That bracha could be that extra tefillah that whatever it is that you need is going to come down. And this, says the Rosh Turim, is the koach of what brachos are about. Source 13. Inyan birkotav, going back a page, shel adam amok amoku. The whole idea of brachos / tefillos that we give for somebody is very deep. And he says, we have, for example, the Amora of Rav, who blessed his student Rav Huna that he should become rich. And his bracha came true. And then he kpid Rav al Tamido. Then Rav was upset at his student. He said, why couldn't you have said v'chein lemar? Why couldn't the Talmid have also given a bracha to the Rebbe? The idea of giving a bracha is not only a Rebbe gives a bracha. Anyone can give a bracha. We know the Chazal and the Gemara Megillah says, alti birkos hedjos kalubay necha. The bracha of a simple person shouldn't be light in your eyes. That every person has the koach of bracha. Even the pasha chibapshuti. Gnuzim kocho ruchaniim atzumim, second paragraph in 13. Every person has tremendous spiritual potential. And even if they're not a tzaddik. Va'afim abrachanis rakamipi v'lo kavana yaseira. Even if it's, you know, almost thrown out without thinking. There are brachos, there are kochos tamiri. There are hidden strengths found in a bracha that at times, when it's an eirutzo, when it's a time of supplication, when it's a time of desire, they're able to do their, you know, be able to be effective. Sharei shefa v'atzlocha, to bring down the sharei shefa v'atzlocha. That is why any time somebody gives somebody else a bracha, it could be a simple person. So first of all, there's an inyan that if someone asks you for a bracha, you should never say, who am I? I'm not a tzaddik. Who am I to give a bracha? No. Alti birkos hedjos kalabei necha. Every individual Jew has a koach bracha. So if someone asks you, I don't know why, but if someone should ask you for a bracha, give them a bracha. The second thing is, when you bless somebody, or when someone blesses you, right? And the blessing could be, you should have a great day. That's also a bracha. right? And it could be Nizrakah Mepiv, they don't even realize it, right? You know, I wish you bracha and atzlacha. We should always be in the habit of giving people blessings, because we don't know, again, that could be that extra quarter to bring down the coke, to bring down the shefa, to bring down the good things from Shemayim. But any time a person gives you a bracha, the response should be amen, it should be, and then we should also respond with a bracha, you know, back to this person as well. You know, there's a famous maisa many of us are familiar with of a boy, 15 years old, I believe, in the Chef Shul in Austria, who was there for Shabbos Mevarchim. And when the Chazan came to the part of announcing when the Molad was going to be, the exact time, you know, how many minutes, how many Chalakim, so he said it's going to be, I believe, 1 o'clock, and people are waiting, and he says this is a rarity, there's no Chalakim, it's going to be, you know, no minutes. It's going to be on the hour. And he said the next time that this is going to happen is in the year 2005, in 87 years from now. And he said, and halavai, all of us should be there to be mevarchim the chodesh in good health. And most people snickered and laughed, like, who's going to live another 87 years? But this boy answered with full kavana, amen! And sure enough, at the age of 102, he was there to that Shabbos of Archim, where it was 2 o'clock without any Chalakim benching Chodesh. And he said that throughout his life, he went through World War I as well as World War II. He went through a tremendous amount of challenges in life, this individual. He said he felt that assurance that because of that answering Amen to that bracha with such Kavana, that he was going to be around to bench Chodesh and live to 122. And sure enough, he did. We can't ever brush aside even a bracha like this, which seems, you know, did the Chazan really mean that someone in actual is going to be around another 87 years? I don't know. But any time a bracha is given, one should never, ever poo-poo a bracha. A bracha has a certain kalach to it, and we have to recognize this. And the way a bracha is stated, that's why the Gemara tells us that when two people part from each other, they shouldn't say lech Bishalom, they should say Lech Lishalom. We learn that from Avshalom. What is this Koach Abracha? So there's a very beautiful idea that Miroshirim notes. He says, in the asterisk of 14b, Olel Gabehem, if all brachas are important, perhaps the most powerful is Birkas Ha'av HaMevarechet Banav, of a father who blesses his son. Sheish Bakochot Rabim, if every person has the ability to affect others, a parent has even a greater ability. And he says, when we're talking about Natri Mezazel and Birkos Hejo, this is clearly talking about Birkos Ha'av. And we learn this from a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk by Lavan that says, Vayashkem Lavan Baboker, Lavan Beis Aleph and Breishit, Lavan got up in the morning, and he kissed his sons and his daughters, and he blesses them, and says Rav Avadya Bar Tanura, in the circle asterisk, we see from here that you shouldn't treat lightly any bracha. When a person blesses somebody with their whole soul, that they're emotionally connected to the person, below safek, without a doubt, there's a special koach in the tzelem elokim, in the divine image of the one giving a bracha. And that is why, developing this idea, the Rav Reis notes that what is this koach, what is this ability that we can even throw out, you know, nizurkah bracha mipi, that we can just say a bracha, or a parent blessing a child that has such a great koach. He says the reason for this is in 15, because what makes us uniquely divine is the nefesh chaya within us, that living soul, which the Targum translates as the ruach v'malala, the ability to speak. That ability to speak is the divine aspect within us. It's a nishmas ruach ha-chayim asher ba'adam. That was breathed into us from above. It is the internal part of a person. V'tzuratam achitzonit hi adibur. Our inner breath of our life that's found in us is manifested through speech. So in 21, just like God speaks and creates world, we too can speak and create worlds. We too can speak and have our speech affect the worlds around us, and that's the koach of bracha. And that's why he notes that the bracha of a tzaddik, of a righteous person, is mitkayemet beyoter. Right? Why people want to go to tzaddikim and rebbes for brachos. Why? If we're saying that the whole concept of a koach of a bracha is the ability, because a person has a tzelem elokim, the divine image within them, and that divine image allows the koach, the power of their speech to affect that which they say. A tzaddik, a great rabbi, who has perfected their tzelem elokim, their divine image, so their speech is on a higher level. And therefore their brachas obviously have a greater hashpa, have a greater influence, compared to pshutei am, whose tzelem elokim, whose divine image, is a little bit, we'd say, watered down because of all the gashmis, the physicality of our life. Nevertheless, in every bracha, there are kochot ruchaniim, there are spiritual kochos that have the ability to affect. And that is why he says that a bracha that comes from a very deep place within us has the effect of not only the Tzelem Elokim, but almost the giving a certain power to the Tzelem Elokim to affect the one receiving the bracha. And that's why the bracha of a parent has perhaps a greater effectiveness than regular people blessing this person. If we understand this concept, that a bracha is coming from the divine image that's found within us, the pure image that's found within us, so we then understand in 22, two very interesting things. One is the idea that a person who has a simcha, they're called the Baal Simcha, the master of the simcha. They're called the Baal Simcha because they are Adon Ubal Akol Davar Simcha, and they have the ability to be mashpia on others' goodness. A Baal Simcha at this point in time is somebody who's elevated. The mazel's been positive mazel. They just had a simcha going on. When they're on this state, they're at an elevated level than regular people are. Their mindset, their whole relationship with Hashem is on a different level. Therefore, they have the ability to offer brachos. Someone was telling me a ma'aseh of a chashuv, a rav, who knocked on a mother's door on the morning of her son's bris, and they asked the mother for a bracha. You're the Baal Simcha. There's a koach of bracha on the day of your son's bris. I want to get a bracha from you. And likewise, we all know this concept. He quotes it here from the Chassam Sofer, that a chassan, as well as a kala, on the day of their chuppah, they also have the koach habracha. Why? Because shnishma'a tfilato b'yom mechila savonosav. They are on the level like a tzaddik. Why? Because their sins are forgiven. And then a chassan and kala, on the day that their sins are forgiven, then they move to that elevated level, like we spoke about, of the tzaddik, whose neshama, whose selam elokim, is a much more elevated level. That's why there's a koach of a chatzin and kala to give a bracha on the day of their wedding. I was just on this last trip, Baruch Hashem, able to go to two chasnas, and one of them, who's a student I'm very close to at the Kabbalat Panim, I wished her mazel tov, and then I turned to her. You know, I said, this is an opportunity. I said, Dvar, I want a bracha. You know, if you're able to get a kala, who, again, what we're talking about here, not a kala who doesn't know you, stop bracha batlacha, but here's a kala who you have a real relationship with, and you have those elements that we spoke about. You have the emotional element of connection. You have a person who knows you quite well, so the bracha is going to be a directed bracha. I said, I'm not missing such an opportunity. So I insisted that she give me a bracha. We have to be able to realize the power of these opportunities and be able to utilize them to the fullest. And part of that is where the mitbarech comes in, where the one getting a blessing comes in. You see, when Yaakov, when Yosef HaTzadik sees that his father is switching around the blessings, he says, Abba, what are you doing? realizing that a bracha only works if the person knows what he's talking about. He says, but you have switched their hands. I don't think you realize. And then perhaps the effectiveness of the bracha is going to be at stake. To which Yaakov said, no, I understand who I'm blessing. But he then blesses them again, right? And that's why he says, B'chayiv Arech Yisrael, source 27. For a blessing to be effective, he writes, the Divrat Shlomo, it's not sufficient that he who bestows the blessing should deserve the fulfillment of his blessing. The person blessed must himself firmly believe in the blessing. Since on some level Yosef wasn't sure if Yaakov Avinu knew what he was blessing, so Yaakov Avinu re-blesses the son, so to speak. Because the person receiving the blessing must be prepared to receive these blessings. And this is the idea that Rav Wright speaks about in 29. He says, since they're not just well wishes, but the real brachas, it's not only that the person giving the blessing has to have the right frame of mind, as the Tzav HaKabbalah points out in Source 28 in Parshas Toldos, that's why the person giving the blessing brings the person close to them and puts their hands on them. It's really being able to be like the conduit to bring them blessing. The one receiving the blessing also has to prepare themselves in order that they could be a kli machzik et habracha, a vessel to hold the blessing. And that's that famous story of Elisha and the widow, where this widow comes to Elisha and says, I'm broke and I have to pay the creditors back. And Elisha said, what do you have in your house? And she says, I have a little bit of oil. And Elisha says, go and gather all the pots from your friends and close the door. And then she begins to pour the oil. And one son after the two sons, one hands the other all the pots. And she's pouring. And then she says, bring more. And they said, there are no more pots. And then the oil stops. That's the imagery of bracha. As long as we are the pot, we are the kli makabel, the bracha can come down, the shefa can come down. When a person gives us a bracha, we have to be open to receiving the bracha. We have to be ready to develop ourselves. We have to be ready to be able to, you know, go the full mile, whatever that blessing is. And this is hinted at so beautifully. And this is a gevaldik pshat in the bottom of 31. When Yitzhak Avinu blesses Esav, he first says to him, Vata sana kelecha, and now lift up your kelim, literally your vessels. And Rashi says, sana lashon hachzah, you should sharpen your instruments. So the Balei Musar learned from here, and this is the godless of learning, that you find here the key of what it means to be a makabel bracha, receive a bracha from here. Aleph, sana kelecha, lift up your instruments. Shishtamesh bekelav hu, it should be your instruments and not kelim gnuvim, as we saw. That when I'm about to bless you, it has to be blessing you for who you are. The things, the characters, the qualities that are unique to you. And then, bet, the klei nefesh hatzmeim hayichudim zkukim lachshaza v'lipituach. But then you have to be ready to sharpen them. You have to be ready to develop them. And that's the second part here of sana kelecha, be able to sharpen, prepare yourself that you're able to receive the blessings I'm about to give you. Now, if we understand what we've seen so far, that a bracha is really a tefillah of expansiveness, it's for the kochos, it's for the name, the qualities that a person has, and that this bracha, this tefillah, is really best when a person has relationship with a person, and it has a koach because it's coming from the Tzelem Elohim, the divine part of us, the part that is a creative part within us. And we know that even a Birkos Hedjos should be Kalabei Necha, that every bracha has its ability to bring down a shefa, to bring down a tremendous amount of blessing. And particularly the bracha of a parent to a child has this tremendous quality, as we see from Lava benching his children from the Sforno. And we also understand that those who are on a higher level are more pure in their Tzelem Elohim. The conduit is more crystal clear that the blessing can come down. With this, my friends, we can now begin to appreciate what the blessings on Friday night are about. First, we know, and this is again in Nefesh Shimshon on Shabbos Kodesh, I highly recommend, whether it's the Hebrew or the English, that every person learn through the Sefer. It is absolutely outstanding, Rav Finkus. We know that Shabbos is a time where we're living with God's reality in our lives. We move to an elevated level. That's why Shabbat is Me'ein HaBrachos, Amayan HaBrachos. It's the fountain of all blessing, because we are on a different dimension, and that's why Friday night has a different koach, a bracha, than you have during the week. The Bencher Shirin V'Rach Hashim 33, Omin Hag Levarech B'Shabbos Kodesh, V'Prap Elel Shabbos, so Shabbos Malkasa, Friday night particularly, has the ability to have a koach, a power to bless, U'B'So Nefesh Yiteira Shalom Mevarech Mibarech Yechula Brachos, that the one who's giving the brachos and receiving the brachos will be blessed. There's no satan on the Shabbos who's going to argue about the bracha, and therefore it's like, you know, a bracha that's going to be undisturbed. And he says, if you have a daughter, you should bless her as well. Again, Bilel Shabbos. And then he continues, and now we're on source 34, and he says the following. The Sidur Yavet, and he notes here, Echad Havot Vechad Rabbanim. And this is brought down in a number of sources, that not only do the fathers bless their children, and in many communities we know the mothers as well, but the Rabbanim bless as well. And again, it makes a lot of sense based on what we're saying, because a Rav is on that higher elevated level, and their brachos have a tremendous power to them. You know, one of my childhood memories that is very distinct in my mind is Erev Yom Kippur. We know we have Birkas Habanim that's special. We now fits into that paradigm that we're saying, because we are elevated Erev Yom Kippur. So those brachos to the children are on a completely different realm. But I remember as a child, there used to be an elderly yid, happened to be a Kohen in our shul. His name was Reb Lazer. Right, this long white beard, he got the image, right? And Erev Yom Kippur, my father would bring us to Reb Lazer, my brother, my sister, and I, or he would come to us, and we would always get a bracha from him. And that was like our childhood memories, that, you know, you can't go into Yom Kippur unless you got a bracha from Reb Lazer, unless, you know, the zaken of the place would bench you, would give you a bracha. And we do that with our daughters, Bliya and Hara, Erev Yom Kippur, before, right after Mincha, we bring the girls to the Rebbe of our shul, and we ask him to give them a bracha, that the girls should understand that there's a concept of brachos. You know, perhaps being girls, they don't go to all these rabbanim to get brachos, but here's someone who knows them, who has a relationship with them, and again, can give them a specific bracha for who they are. Continuing, he says, Achara Tfilo B'Knisa L'Bayit, Sha'az Chala Shefa. And he said specifically to bless the children, because the children perhaps don't have the ability to bring down all this greatness on them, particularly children under bar mitzvah. So we help bring down this shefa, this energy on them. But even the banim gdolim, even over bar mitzvah age, you bless them as well. And he says in the asterisk, and then yivarechecha, and then the underline of 34 at the bottom, v'chol echad yuchal losif racha mishalo, kefitz chot l'shonot ad kan l'shonot. And then a person can add whatever bracha they want. And again, a parent who knows the child is going to add something specifically tailor-made for them. The next source, 35, is a mistake. It's not Rav Yaakov Emden. It's Siddur Otzar HaTfilos, 35, 36, and 37. Not written by Rav Yaakov Emden, where he says, it's a very excellent compilation of ideas on the Siddur, where he says the following in 35. He says, V'ra'ui l'chol adam v'varech banav b'Shabbos, and specifically b'lel Shabbos, and he says, and perhaps you should add, quoting the Ma'avar Yavo, Yomar v'nacha alecha ruach chochma obina ruach eitzel gvura ruach das v'yuras Hashem. All those imageries of the Mashiach, right, from Yeshaya, these are the things that we should bless our children with. And he notes another reason why we bless them on Friday night or on Yontif. He says, because at times in 36, a father or mother may have gotten angry at their kid during the week, and they would have said something that wasn't appropriate. So Shabbos is a time to give them a bracha and to turn any klala, any negative thing that they said during the week, into a bracha on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is a time of simcha, it's a time of expansiveness. And that's why he notes, which is very fascinating, I've never seen this before, and I've never seen it practiced in 36 in the Arrow, Vagav noagim gam kein levarech shara nashi, kigon dodim v'dodos kenim kenot, hakol mirov simcha v'larot shebishat chedva ein rach, yim hakol tov v'larot shehem kulam ahuvim v'ra'im ze bazeh, u'mevarchim ze etzeh. Not only should you bless your children, you should bless everyone around the table. Bless the aunts, the uncles, the grandparents. Everyone should get a bracha. It's a time of simcha. It's a time of expansiveness. It's a time of joy. It's a time to show that joy by giving blessings to everybody. He also adds at the end in 37 that you should bless your children, that they should grow up, l'gadlam, l'torah, l'chupa, l'maisim tovim, and that they should have yiras Hashem. And they should be able to serve Hashem, b'levav sholem, v'yirichu yomim b'avod Hashem, u'b'tarasa lishma l'amita. And he goes on with what the nusach of the bracha is. So what you clearly see from all of these sources is that yivarecha and yisimcha lokim, or yisimecha lokim, kesarev karecha v'leah, or yisimcha lokim kefraim u'kunashe, and then yivarecha, Hashem yishvarecha, the birkas kohanim is just the basic beginning text. Then every parent should add that which is, we just saw a number of texts here, to add for their children, whether these texts of anachal, lav ruach Hashem, legadlo, lechutaro, chupa, maisim tovim, yerushamayim, whatever it is, or whatever specific for this child, whatever kochos of this child, this is a time for a parent to give, a father to give this to his child. Now, having said this, we now come back to our original question, which I'd like to look at on three levels in the short time we have remaining. And that is the question which is so beautifully formulated in Tam V'Das. V'nireh d'abracha yusim chalukim, 38, kefraim v'kenashe, ein kavanatach shekol achad yivarech banav sheyaslichu kamo Ephraim k'menashe. Why are we always picking on Ephraim and Menashe? Kima lo liyachel lahem abracha, Asaf Sternbach, why are we specifying them? Sheyu kefraim v'kenashe davka, that should be like Ephraim and Menashe. We could bless them, they could be like our forefathers. So there are many approaches. I'd just like to mention three different approaches with varying levels of understanding that are found within the Mefarshim. The first approach is, which Rav Wolpe brings down in 39, is the inyan shel hatpasa. Kishimivarchim Yeladim Matpisim et Abracha Bibracha Shibirech Yaakov Avinu et Ephraim u'Menashe. And the Das Torah Rabbi Yerucham echoes this. We're not blessing our children that they should be like Ephraim and Menashe. No. We're blessing our children that the blessing of Ephraim and Menashe should be the blessing that our children receive as well. That when I mention Ephraim and Menashe, I'm almost in the imagery that the Meirosh Shirim gives in 41. It's like a big electric plant with a tremendous generator, right, which has a tremendous amount of electric wattage and power. So what do? I just, take one cable, so to speak, and I attach it to my house so I'd be able to light a light so I can tap into that tremendous power. These two sons of Yosef were given this tremendous bracha of Hamalach HaGolosti, Vidgul HaRov B'Kerav HaAretz. It's like they were given a bracha at Belidai. They're given a bracha. To be like the fish of the sea means that you're not under the negative eye, that you're able to multiply, you're able to be successful. It's a tremendous bracha. As Rabbi Yerucham speaks about, it's a bracha of total hitpashtut, b'midah g'dusha kolkach. It's an ever-expansive bracha. So when I say God should make you like Ephraim and Menashe, by mentioning their names, we're asking Hashem to bless our children, that they get benched like Ephraim and Menashe with the same bracha that Ephraim and Menashe got. And here, the Limudei Nisan explains why is that so. He says, it's a very fascinating idea, just in 46 in the highlights. he says that we know Avraham Avinu demonstrated chesed, and Yitzchak Avinu yira or fear, and Yaakov Avinu was a synthesis. But the one to live all three of them almost simultaneously within his life and be the embodiment of all three was Yosef. And therefore, when Yaakov Avinu says, Hamalach HaGoel, he's saying is that you, Yosef, have been successful in taking all the qualities of the Avos and being able to bring them within you and then to impart them to the next generation. And that's the bracha that we're giving to our children, that we should be as successful as Yosef was, that we are the ability to have the Birchas Yosef, which is the ability to live what the Avos stood for and be able to make it a practical aspect, a reality aspect of our lives. So the first way we look at the brachos is not that we should be like Ephraim and Menashe, but the bracha of Ephraim and Menashe, the quality of having the bracha of Yosef, the synthesis of living all three levels, and that ability to hand it over to his children, that's what we are blessing our children to be. The second approach, it's the approach of no, we're blessing our children to be like Ephraim and Menashe. And the classic interpretation 52 is given is Ephraim and Menashe maintain their Jewishness in the face of the hostility and temptation of Egyptian culture. Jewish parents always hope that their children show comparable commitment to their heritage. It's very interesting. Rav Halpern in Shari Chaim, Chaim Halpern of London, points out that the reason why Ephraim and Menashe are highlighted and what we give as a bracha to our children is we know that every Jew has a pintle yid in them, has this aspect of godliness from our forefathers within them, and you can never take away that pintle yid, with one exception. How can we take away that pintle yid? So, second paragraph from 49, the Maharal says that the koach of a Jew is nitzchias, the eternity of the Jewish nation. There's a line connecting us from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to the tribe from whom we are descended until us. Even a Jew's sins can't be cut off from the Avos. There is only one way one can cause a halt to this. If the man, not the woman, but if the man marries out. Since we say Vlada Kamota, the child goes after the mother, he has caused the cessation of the chain of Yisrael. And this was the test that Yosef had. He had a test with Eshet Potiphar, where he had the potential of losing that continuation of the Jewish people. Because he was able to withstand this test, he merited this blessing, and it was because the children proved the connection to the Avos, precisely because Kedusha is the link to the Avos. So why do we mention Ephraim and Menashe? Because they are the link of Kedusha. Ephraim and Menashe teach us that every person is connected to our Avos, to our forefathers. What is that aspect that ensures that that link is there? It's the area of Kedusha, it's the area of holiness, where we make sure to marry Jewish women, that we continue the Jewish people, and we're careful of what comes, by extension, in 51, what comes into our home for ourselves and for our children, that we maintain this aspect of Kedusha, this aspect of holiness. So like the idea of living in Golos on perhaps a deeper metaphysical level, Ephraim and Menashe come as a model of what it's like to live a life of Kedusha, a life of holiness, and that's the ideal of the way a Jew should live. Perhaps the last selection, which is again a number of Mefarshim, here it's quoted in the Ksav Sofer in 53, is that we bless our children that they should be like Ephraim and Menashe, where every father has responsibility, says Ksav Sofer, to teach their child Yiras Hashem, to teach your child Torah, fear of God, and every father's responsibility of Maran Kedushin to teach his child Umnas, a profession, a trade that he should be able to support his family. So we bless every child. You should be like Ephraim and Menashe. It's a wish of every father that their child has within them the combination of Ephraim and Menashe, the Torah, as well as, we know Ephraim was the one who sat by his grandfather, by Yaakov Avinu, and learned Torah. Menashe was the spokesman, he was the Meturgeman, he was the translator, he was Yosef's right-hand man, so that they should have that integration of both Ephraim and Menashe, but we put Ephraim first. Because our focus is, if we teach a child a trade, and then we teach him Torah, the trade will always be more important. what we need to have as a child of the language of Rav Belsky, which is so brilliant, is that the whole world is a marketplace of a Beis Medrash. The whole world is a Beis Medrash. Some is a Beis Medrash where you learn Torah, and others is a Beis Medrash. It's a study hall where you practice Torah. You practice Torah in business, you practice Torah in ethics, you practice Torah in many different areas. We say that our children should be like Ephraim and Manasseh, and the model where Torah and Yirah Shemayim and fear of heaven is primary, and secondary is being able to make a living. The final time that we have left, I'd just like to conclude with, I think, a very beautiful selection that I think applies to all of us, whether we have sons or we don't yet have sons, and that is the idea of Ephraim and Manasseh, our metaphysical concept for us, that we bless our children. It's really a blessing for all of us. B'chai Yivarech Yisrael. This is a blessing that really is applicable to each and every one of us. We should be like Ephraim and Manasseh on a metaphysical level. And here, two selections from here. The first, 55 through 57, comes from Tiva Avoda, Rav Rabinowitz, and the second, 58 through 61, from the Siva Shalom. Tiva Avoda, quoting the Saba of, quoting Rav Zusha, he says the following. Ephraim represents the younger child, right? Manasseh represents the older child. On a symbolic level, Ephraim represents what he calls, the Hasidic terms, the Muchim de Katnut, the times of smallness, while Manasseh represents the Muchim de Gadlus, the time of expansiveness, the times of greatness. There are two times in our lives, obviously there are more, but many times in our lives we feel at times really connected to God. We're flying, our davening, our chesed, everything is just going great. And there are other times where we struggle step by step. Why is this happening to me? I can't daven, I don't have kavana, and I'm just feeling so frustrated in life. And oftentimes we say to ourselves, you know what God really wants? He wants our muchim de gadlus, he wants our great time. You know, he doesn't really have patience for the small times. No. Ephraim's before Manasseh. What's more beloved to God is the times of darkness. And it could be years of darkness. It could be months of darkness. It's the struggle that God wants. Vafilu, the end, even meshach kama v'kama shanim, he sees only choshech, darkness, and katnut. He shouldn't be mezalzel in this time, but recognize to serve Hashem with simcha, knowing that this avodah is chashuva ad ma'od lifnei ha'makom, Ephraim's before Manasseh. The times of smallness are very, very beloved to Hashem, and that's a blessing we give our children. At times in life, you're not going to be flying hot. At times in life, you're going to be struggling. But I want you to know that those times of Ephraim are even more beloved than the times of Manasseh, because Hashem appreciates your struggling. Hashem appreciates when it's hard to hold on, and you nevertheless daven, and nevertheless you persevere. And those are the times that are so beloved to Hashem. The second idea, which obviously both of these ideas needs further development, but it's again food for thought, is in Siva Shalom, who says that the whole argument between Yaakov and Yosef was about Avodas Hashem. Yosef believed, particularly in Egypt, one has to focus in on Sur Meira, stay away from evil, and then the Asay Tov, then the Do Good, the Yira, the awe before the Ava, the love and the Simcha. Menashe's name means Kinashani Elokim, God made me forget. It's a Sur Meira, it's removing from evil. Ephraim is Ki Ephrani Elokim, that God has allowed me to multiply. It's the Asay Tov, it's a proactive, it's a Simcha. When Yosef puts the children with Manasseh before Ephraim, he's saying first you have to have Sur Meira and then Asay Tov. First have the Yira, then the Simcha. First stay away from the evil, then you can embrace the good. Yaakov Avinu, by switching the hand, says no. Even in Mitzrayim, even in a difficult place, the Koach HaTorah is so great that you can have the Asay Tov, the Ephraim before the Manasseh. And he says a Jew can't live his life. This is the fundamental argument on how to live a Torah life. Where Yaakov Avinu is saying, if you're just going to live a life of fear, then you're going to raise a generation of fear. I have a friend who, every time I talk to her about God, she has this image that God is a punitive God, and God punishes, and God's mean. And this is the image she's giving over to her children. Is it any wonder that her children walk around with this fear? It's an approach. But a much healthier approach, which is what Yaakov Avinu is saying, is that you need to have a simchatic approach. You need to have that Hashem loves us, that Hashem cares for us. Yes, there is the Sur Meira. No one's saying not. But the Asay Tov, the emphasis has to be on the positivity. And that- bracha we're giving our children. Be involved in a world of asei tov, be involved in a world of simcha, of ahava, and then almost by itself, when you're so connected in love Hashem, the sur meira, the negative, will in itself almost fall to the wayside. And therefore, in conclusion, my friends, what we've seen in this idea of bestowing blessing, that each and every one of us has a koach habracha. Birkos hajot shouldn't be simple in our eye. A bracha is expansiveness. We should be giving brachos to each other all the time. It has the ability to perhaps be that quarter to bring down that shefa bracha. Answer amen, respond with a bracha. We have the Selam Elohim within us that allows us to give bracha. People who have a more clearer, higher dimension of Selam Elohim, a person on their birthday has the koach of brachos, so they have an added chassan, a bal simcha, a tzaddik, a gadol, have an added element. A parent who's close to a child, an emotional connection, has the koach of bracha. Friday night, we're in an elevated level, the neshama yisera, the nefesh, Yisera, we have the ability to give a bracha. Obviously, the child has to be a kliyam mekabel bracha. They have to be ready to open to take this bracha, to develop this bracha, tailor make the bracha, add to the bracha whatever the child needs. Why talk Ephraim and Menashe? It's just a code to be able to tap in those cables to the, you know, larger wire to the generator, that they should have all the brachas that Yaakov Avinu blessed them. It's, you know, maleo kol gidotav. It's an overflowing blessing. Ephraim and Menashe specifically, they're the Koach HaKedusha. They withstood in Eretz HaTumah. They are the paradigm of a learning Torah as well as a working person. And finally, it's a metaphysical imagery of even in difficult times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates those even more, Ephraim before Menashe, or the understanding of the Sur Meira before the Aseh Tov, that we first have to have the Aseh Tov before the Sur Meira involved in the goodness, and then we can step back, and almost by itself is going to stop all the negativity. And therefore, I leave all of us with a bracha, my friends, that we should be zocha to be able to give each other brachos, that we should see Yeshuas and Nechamos in all of Klal Yisrael, and we should be all zocha for the bracha of Shalom. Amen.